Author Raymond Chandler produced a string of novels and short stories, many featuring legendary private detective Philip Marlowe. Those works were fiction, but one Chandler book offers a brief glimpse into a real but bygone era of baseball. In October of 2013, Only a Game's Doug Tribou shared a bit of hard-boiled hardball history, courtesy of a legendary mystery writer.
You're on the air, Marlowe. Tell it to him.
Were you going to say something?
Go ahead.
There are a few things Philip Marlowe will never pass up. A smoke, a glass of bourbon, and a little conversation.
You wanted to see me?
So you're a private detective. I didn't know they existed except in books, or else they were greasy little men snooping around hotel corridors.
Humphrey Bogart brought Raymond Chandler's ace detective to life in The Big Sleep. Marlowe was hot on the trail of a case and Lauren Bacall. But in Chandler's novel The High Window, Marlowe is after a rare coin known as the Brasher Doubloon. The plot does more twisting than Chubby Checker. Marlowe pays a visit to another detective and notices a Dodgers game is on the radio in the apartment across the hall. Marlowe describes the scene. I knocked, got no answer, and knocked louder. Behind my back, three Dodgers struck out against a welter of synthetic crowd noise. Hang on, synthetic crowd noise? Sounds fishy. Plus, the book's set in Pasadena and Los Angeles. The High Window was published in 1942. That's 16 years before the Brooklyn Dodgers migrated west to California. Yet, Chandler chose to mention them.
Oh. Any reason given?
Not that I know of.
Well, Chandler gives us another clue when he mentions that the broadcast is a recreated ballgame. Not a replay, but a recreation.
All of us have grown up accepting with little question certain images as accurate portraits of public figures. Seldom, if ever, do we ask if the images are true to the original.
Good point, Mr. President. And Ronald Reagan would know. In the 1930s, Reagan worked as a radio sportscaster. The future actor, governor, and president recreated Chicago Cubs games for WHO in Des Moines, Iowa.
Someday it might be worthwhile to find out how images are created.
Hey, that's a good idea. From the 1920s, well into the 1950s, radio stations started recreating games for same-day delayed broadcasts. Jim Williams worked on dozens of minor league baseball recreations for KVVC in Ventura, California, in 1951 and 52.
It was very expensive to rent telephone lines for several hundred miles and to also send sportscasters from, say, Ventura to Modesto.
Ventura had a team in the California League. Williams was just beginning a long radio career when he served as the sound engineer for recreated road games.
We had a telegrapher from the Western Union office who came to the radio station in Ventura. His counterpart would be at the stadium in Modesto, and then he would type out a few dots and dashes and send a brief message to our telegrapher.
Who typed up the action one half inning at a time.
Smith, strike one, low. Ball two, hit the center field, caught by Sam Jones.
The announcer in Ventura would then call the game, adding color with statistics and other details. Williams would play sound effects records to round out the production.
Booing, crowds cheering, people running around selling popcorn. Get your fresh popcorn here. Get your Red Hots here. Get your Coke here.
And there was a wooden bat hanging near the announcer's microphone.
If there was a hit, he would simply take his wooden ruler and hit the bat extending from the ceiling. You hear the crack of the bat on the wood.
And the sportscaster also had a baseball and a glove.
And that's how we did it.
The master of the art form was Gordon McClendon.
What makes you say that?
From 1947 to 1952, McClendon and his Liberty Broadcasting System delivered elaborate major league recreations from his studio in Dallas. At its peak, Liberty had nearly 500 affiliate stations, mainly in the West and South, where there were no big league teams.
I hate to let this guy get away with it.
Actually, most stations acknowledged the broadcasts were recreations in announcements before and after the games. The biggest concern was a broken telegraph or human error at the ballpark. Again, former KVVC sound engineer Jim Williams.
Modesto came to bat. They had an inning, and they had four outs, and they went down. Then they came right back up to bat again. That does not happen in a ball game.
The announcer in Ventura started filling time, eventually announcing a fake storm and rain delay, while the telegrapher phoned the press box in Modesto.
Well, when the telegrapher came on the horn on the telephone, he was drunk.
The staff in Ventura had a newspaper reporter at the stadium give them a summary over the phone after each half inning.
Our sportscaster came on and said, well, the storm is now over. Let's get back to the game. And So that was a hair-pulling time. It never happened again. And I would assume that the telegrapher in Modesto got fired, too.
The 1947 film adaptation of The High Window was called The Brasher Doubloon and starred George Montgomery as Marlowe. The Dodgers recreation is not in the movie, but the book offers one more historically accurate tidbit. After Marlowe finds the other private eye dead, a neighbor ties his alibi to the length of the baseball broadcast. And Chandler got it right. His estimate would put a game at about 2.5 hours, pretty much in line for the era, and significantly shorter than today's nearly 3-hour average. So that's the story of what Raymond Chandler can teach us about baseball history. And I better wrap this up before it turns into a long goodbye.
Good. We'll take a short recess.
Oh, I don't think I need one.
I do.
Me too. For Only a Game, I'm Doug Tribune.